welcome to this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from End Screen Media is with me as always. Hi, Colin.
Hi, Will. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. How about you?
I'm doing well. It's been quite a busy week this week. Lots of data and lots of announcements as usual. A couple caught my eye. I think we're gonna talk about a couple of things this week, right?
Yeah, well, CBS All Access, you wrote about earlier this week, the big Star Trek launch is less than 2 months away at this point, coming up at the end of September. And that's obviously something that they are banking pretty heavily on, as you wrote. It's been delayed a bunch of months, but it's finally coming. And you have some relatively strong feelings about how big a role that Star Trek needs to play in order for All Access to meet its subscriber targets. So why don't you go ahead and get started?
I do, yes. And I think it's only fair, though, Will, that we should both state right up front. I think I would class myself as a Trekkie. I'm not a rabid fan, but I am a Trek fan. Now, are you a Trek fan?
No, I'm not a Trekkie, Colin. I have to admit, I've watched some episodes over the years, but I've never been a Trekkie. So you're carrying it for both of us today.
Well, I think there's a lot of people in the U.S. who are big Trekkie fans. And so I'm expecting Star Trek Discovery, which will be released September 24th, to do really well. And I think Les Moonves, who's the head of CBS, is really banking on Star Trek really giving CBS All Access a huge boost. So we'll get to that in just a second, but let's just talk about what's going on with Star Trek Discovery. So it's been delayed a bit. It was supposed to be released in January, but will not be premiering until September 24th. And really, it's a CBS All Access exclusive. But the way that they're promoting it is they're actually going to do the premiere episode free on CBS channels. And right after the premiere episode is finished, you can immediately go to CBS All Access and catch the first two episodes, which will be released on that platform. Now, it costs you $5.99 a month to get CBS All Access, and $4 gets you ad-free. So if you're paying $10 a month, you're seeing... I'm assuming if you pay for ad-free, you will be seeing the episodes of Star Trek Discovery ad-free as well. So I can assure you that I will be signing up to watch those episodes, unless of course the premiere episode is a complete disaster. But I doubt that that will be the case. I doubt that's probably one of the reasons why they've held it for 9 months, because they wanted to get the production quality right. But I think this is a really important part of Les Moonves' strategy regarding CBS All Access. He pushed CBS Online with its own SVOD product, a separate SVOD product, before any of the other major broadcasters who are all involved in Hulu. And so they really didn't have, I guess, the same incentive. And it launched in October of 2014. Price hasn't changed since it launched, and now they have a reported about 1.5 million paying customers for the service, which I think is, you know, certainly when you look at it in the context of Hulu and Netflix and Amazon, not that really strong a performance. Even YouTube Red has done better than that. So I think it's kind of middling performance for garnering subscribers. Now, Les Moonves has stated that his target for the service is about 4 million subscribers by 2020, and at that pace, they won't quite make it. So that's where Star Trek comes in. I think Star Trek Discovery, assuming they get that first episode right, I think it's going to attract a lot of subscribers, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if they eclipse the 4 million target during the Star Trek run. First run. So, you know, that kind of begs the question, maybe Les Moonves isn't as optimistic as me, but they'll clearly be a lot closer to it during Star Trek if it's successful. So why is he hedging about 2020, waiting for 4 million till 2020. So I think the reason is what I call binge and bolt. And that is where people come into a service, watch everything, watch a particular show that they wanted to see, and then they leave at the end. So, you know, they binge and then they bolt from the service. And CBS, this is a big problem for them, as it is for all SVOD services. And they are now trying to do stuff, Will, that will keep people. So they've already created a couple of original series for CBS All Access. One is called The Good Wife, and another one is Big Brother Over the Top, which, frankly, I don't know that anybody is watching that show, but maybe there is a small number. They're adding three shows to the slate in time for the Star Trek release. One is called Strange Angels, which is all about a chap called Jack Parsons, who was a rocket scientist in the 1940s, and he had a very salacious personal life. So that could be interesting. There's a comedy from Will Ferrell and Adam McKay about cops and criminals called No Activity. And then there's a mystery series, which I'm quite intrigued by, called $1, which tracks a dollar bill through the hands of various people connected to a murder. So that sounds quite interesting to me. But what I'm asking myself is that enough to keep a lot of the Star Trek fans who come to watch Discovery? And I got to tell you, I don't think it's enough. I think a lot of those fans at the end of the series are just going to leave. And so that's a really tough thing. And I think what that means is the CBS has to really go all in here. And they have to queue up more new stuff, which is announced during the Star Trek run and released during the Star Trek one run. Particularly if they can get something directly science fiction related, that could help hold a lot of those people and help CBS All Access continue to grow. If they don't do this and, you know, everybody bolts at the end of Discovery, which I think is highly likely with the slate as it sits today, that could be pretty bad for All Access. As well, if Star Trek Discovery is bad and nobody wants to watch it, I think that could be disaster for All Access because they've put so much into it, Will.
Yeah. Well, that would certainly be the worst case scenario, is if it's a lousy show after all this build up.
Indeed. I mean, it's been 13 years since the last Star Trek, last original Star Trek series, Star Trek Enterprise. So, you know, this is a big deal, and that's why I think it will easily make the 4 million subscribers. But what do you think? Do you think it will? And do you think it's that important to CBS All Access?
Yeah. So first of all, reminder that I'm coming at this not as a Star Trek fan. So I'm not like a rabid whatever. If there was an option 10 years from now to get another season of Game of Thrones, I might be all in for something like that. So my perspective is a little bit limited. But I would say that I think that maybe I'm a little bit more sort of feeling a little more positive about CBS All Access as it is currently than you are. You kind of describe their performance as middling. I think 3 years, 100, 1.5 million subscribers for a single purpose SVOD service like this is, I think is actually pretty respectable. They're probably adding about 50,000 subscribers a month right now. If they continue just on that pace through the end of 2020, they'd get to 3.5 million. That's pretty darn close to the 4 million that they had said they would be at. Figure they're going to ramp as well over the next 3.5 years. So that's probably even a relatively conservative case. I think that your assertion that they could potentially get to the full 4 million target just on the back of the Star Trek original feels very optimistic to me. I'd be really surprised, and I'd even maybe go one step further to say that, you know, the more subscribers they get on just related to Star Trek, the more vulnerable they are to your second point, which is people dropping once they've watched that first season, that first 12 episodes. It probably carry them for about 3 months. So CBS would have generated about maybe $18 if it's with ads, or $30 if it's without ads. So I'd say if they got to the full 4 million, there would be a lot of people that would spin out right after that. And I agree with you. I think the spinning out issue when the series ends is a big one for CBS. Clearly, they're adding more programs to the slate. I think your point about needing more sci-fi specifically that's going to meet the interest of Star Trek fans is essential. There's no question about that. This whole binge and bolt idea, I think we've all been guilty of doing that at least, you know, a couple of times with all these different SVOD services or premium channels. You come in for a month or two, watch what you want, and then you drop afterwards. So they're certainly vulnerable to all that. But I guess, you know, to a net, I would say that even with the churn that's going to happen at the end of the 3 months, there will be some inertia. People hang in there. There will be other people that find old CBS stuff. They hang in there. I'd say net, it's still a very sort of positive move for CBS to be doing. And I think it's going to pay off for them, not in getting to the full 4 million right now, but I think it just adds to the story, just like we've seen with Netflix. House of Cards was their first big original, and they sort of built from there. And I think CBS will do the same thing.
Well, there's one other aspect to this, Will, that I think we should probably mention, and that is that this is actually kind of a risky strategy for CBS because it's so directly competitive with their existing distribution mechanisms, both the pay TV operators and the affiliates. I mean, let's be honest, they're using the affiliates to promote the first episode and get people to come and sign up to CBS All Access. Now, many of the affiliates are available through All Access, but I got a feeling they're not making nearly as much money out of All Access availability and viewership as they are through their regular broadcast channel through pay TV and through over the air, where they get, you know, they get a lot of the advertising revenue as well as sundry licensing revenue for other stuff. So I think that there's an inherent risk here that you are being threatening to that existing traditional distribution mechanisms. And I think if they're really serious about making CBS All Access successful, that they really do need to pony up and start adding a lot more content on a much more regular basis. And that is even more competitive with the affiliates and with paid television operators. And there was one other thing that they did do, but I kind of discount this. They did just recently add CBSN, which is their free 24-hour news channel online. They added that to the slate for CBS All Access. So if you sign up, you can get to CBSN from within the experience. But I kind of discount that because it's available for free anyway, so I can watch it if I want to online. That's actually a benefit for CBSN because it should help more people find it. So I think this is a pretty risky strategy for them, and there's quite a lot at stake on how well Star Trek does and how many of those subscribers that come to watch it stick around afterwards.
So I'm going to disagree with you a little bit again, Colin. I think it's less risky than you're portraying. Just talk about the affiliates for a second to start with. My understanding is that the affiliates are pretty well tied into the success of CBS All Access. And as you pointed out, you know, many of them are already incorporating their live stream, their local stream, into CBS All Access. So they've reached some level of an agreement with CBS at the network level about being incorporated. I think there's also some, and I don't know this specifically, but I think there are some revenue sharing mechanisms in there for subscribers in certain in geography that the affiliate gets as well as some of the ad revenue. So I think that the affiliates are, you know, it feels like it could be very threatening on the surface, but I think CBS has done a really good job of kind of bringing them under the tent. And that sort of ties to your second point, which is that, yes, on the one hand, one could argue that CBS All Access is threatening to the underlying broadcast model, the geographically distributed model, the whole analog paradigm that's now 75 years old or whatever. I think the reality is that, as we both know, that world is already under some pretty significant threats. And So I think from an affiliate standpoint, you would be looking at CBS All Access and thinking, all right, well, if the deal is pretty good, maybe it's not exactly what it was back in the great old days, but it's pretty good, keeps me pretty close to being whole. I would think that they would actually be applauding CBS All Access because it helps, it demonstrates how CBS at the network level is not sticking its head in the sand and hoping that all this cord cutting and SVOD and binge viewing and stuff is a fad, but rather it's a fact of life, and that CBS has an aggressive plan to be a player, and as such has a plan to bring affiliates along with it. So I guess I don't see it so much as threatening. I see it more as just realistic. And we could argue about like how much original content do they need to produce in order to retain X percentage of the Star Trek driven subscribers versus Y percentage. I think that's sort of open for debate right now because it's still so unknown. But my attitude is that I think they're going to do that. I think the roadmap is well trod by the Netflixes and even the HBOs and the Showtimes of the world, that I think CBS will be on that program pretty quickly and do a pretty good job. So I guess what I'm saying all in, Colin, is that I don't see it nearly as risky. I see it much more strategic. I think everyone's sort of tied in here, and that if there's one big variable that still remains, it's what you said before, which is, how good a show is Star Trek Discovery going to be? If it's a crappy show, there's going to be no masking that. It's going to be really bad news for CBS and CBS All Access. But if it's a great show, like House of Cards was, it could be a major home run for them.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure that the deal that the affiliates are getting with CBS All Access is probably not as good as you think, Will. Of course, we don't know what that deal is precisely. But I can tell you the last time I was in the CBS interface, it's pretty easy to get to your local affiliate, but I didn't think of CBS All Access as a live viewing platform, and I bet many of the people that come in and use it don't either. And if you watch the shows that were originally broadcast on the local affiliate, there is no link and no key to the local affiliate in that experience. And if you're watching with ads, I bet they don't get a bite at the ads that are placed in the on-demand viewing of that show either. So I got a feeling that, it's very hard to say, Will, but I got a feeling that this is not quite as good a deal for the affiliates as you think it is.
Well, here's just one indicator of why I think it's maybe a better deal than you think it is that if the affiliates were really up in arms about the deal that they had, I feel like we'd be hearing about that in the rumor mill and in press reports and so forth. Like there'd be a quiet insurrection going on. For my part, I don't feel like I read anything about CBS affiliates being upset about CBS All Access. Do you?
No, I don't. And one thing I will know is that all of the broadcasters have gone back to the affiliates now and got these sort of negotiation agreements with them, where they can go and negotiate with other online providers on their behalf, and the affiliates can buy in. I think that is very definitely a reflection of the world that we're living in, that if you don't play, then you just get missed out. So that's I think, probably helpful in some ways to the affiliates. I'm just not sure, versus the regular affiliate agreement that they have for broadcast, I'm just not sure that CBS All Access will work out as well for the affiliates as that previous agreement. But, you know, maybe there's nothing to be done about that. Maybe that's just the way the world is now.
I was going to say, that's a high bar to say that you'll always do as well as you did when we were sort of the main three channels out there. I think that's a tough bar to kind of compare yourself to.
Yeah, but you know, there's a lot of revenue, and there's a lot of local shows that are really dependent on that world, Will. And I've written a lot about this, and this is a risky situation for the local broadcasters. They really do have a tough row to hoe to continue to be able to run their newsrooms and run the local stories that they do. And make the local content. And it's very much dependent on the whole revenue model. So if that revenue model is shifting quickly, which it clearly is, that could be a big problem for local broadcasting. And I think it is a big problem for local broadcasting. And once again, I'm just not so sure how much a CBS All Access approach helps that.
I hear you. I think it's all part of the new reality, right? It's a very dynamic world that we live in. And anybody who thinks they're just going to be able to hang on to their traditional business model and sail through this new chaos is obviously dreaming. So I think that, again, I think the All Access strategy seems pretty sound. And I was a bit of a doubter up front several years ago, but I think it's worked out reasonably well. And if I were an affiliate, I'd be feeling like at least they're moving forward with something that has a hope of doing well for me down the road. But anyway, but that's any other thoughts that you have on CBS All Access? I know you're.
No, I mean, I think the one thing I would say, Will, is that I applaud CBS for doing this. I think it's exactly the right thing to be doing.
Yeah.
I just don't feel, it is certainly not without risk.
Yep.
And they're taking quite a different approach than the other big three, Fox, ABC, and NBC, who are investors in Hulu. And Hulu is the real vehicle for them to move forward. None of them have broken out on their own and released their own SVOD service under their own brand name. So this is a bold move by CBS. I'm kind of pulling for them. I hope that they are successful. I do want Star Trek to be successful. And I hope they find a new market here online with the product.
Well, the die was cast when CBS decided not to participate in Hulu. They were going to go their own separate route. So that's why we have All Access, whereas the other broadcasters are all, as you say, invested in the Hulu strategy and precluded from doing their own thing with their primary content. So that's sort of the way the world order works today. We'll see where it goes in the future.
You bet. It'd be interesting to see what happens next year when the consent decree expires for Comcast and they can do what they want with NBC. So that should be interesting.
Yep, agreed. All right, well, listen, put all this aside, you're excited. There's just more Star Trek coming your way in less than 2 months.
Oh, yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. I love the fact that it seems to be focusing about a woman. I think that's really good. That's a good step for it. And, of course, Star Trek has always been pioneering in that respect. And, boy, Doctor Who now even is a woman. So it's great. I think that's great. Great changes and good moves.
All right, Colin. Well, good chatting with you about CBS All Access and their strategy today.
And you the same, Will.
And thanks, everybody, for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. And we'll see you all again next week.